We're shedding our masks and breaking down walls. Hell, we may even drop our drawers. That's right. We're going commando with Angela and Dana.
Hi, my name is Dana Sardano, and this is Angela DeMarco, and we are Going Commando. Going Commando is a little show that we put together because we understand the importance of authenticity, of being who you are, of reveling in that greatness, embracing your gifts, and bringing that to the world. And we do our best to do that, and we're hoping by doing so, we give you permission to do the same. So thank you for being here, and more to Miss Angela.
Good morning, Data. Yeah, man, like, just like be you, boo. Like, just be you. It's like, it is so like with this AI stuff. Okay. I got to rant about AI.
Oh, here we go. Let me sit back. All right.
No. I have no problem with robots taking over the world, honestly, because that's where we're going. Every dystopian movie has told us that this is what's going to happen. Oh, and the human race is no longer at the top of the food chain. No problem. But now, what I see why, because I did a post on my newsletter, and like 8 of the comments were variations of the same phrase, which means that they're using AI, because it's now on LinkedIn, you have AI, you know, how to respond to things. And the funniest thing was, you know, who is Angela DeMarco? And I was like, Angela studied underwater basket weaving at University of Florida. I'm like, right on, AI. But it's like people are just not going to put their energy into thinking. That's going to be the problem. And I was like, oh, yeah. And how many times can I come up with a different response? Because I'm a human responding to it. So I was just a little frustrated with the laziness of people. Listen, I use ChatGPT. It helps me with my writing when Dana's not available. I have no problem with any of this technology. But don't lose yourself in it. Don't become lazy. Be you. It is so, so, so important at this point in time right now. I'm going to get off my soapbox in a second, to just be human. And whatever you do, ChatGPT and AI is giving you prompts to help you, but it's not there to be you. Be you. I'm done.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry. It's frustrating. It's like it's like the antithesis of everything that we're doing here on this show. So,
I'm sitting here. I'm not jumping in. I'm sitting here because you are preaching to the fucking choir, dude.
I know
why you use ChatGPT, and I don't even know how. I wouldn't even know how to find it, because I absolutely refuse. I get it. I'm extreme. I know that. But like, I'm a fucking writer. Like, I just won't do it. You know what I mean? It, to me, because I see, and I can tell when people write shit. You know what I mean? Like, when people stop confusing your and your, I know they're not doing it themselves. No, but what I'm saying is, you can tell, because everybody's got their own flavor, and that's the beauty of humanity. That's the beauty. It's in our imperfections. It is in our imperfections. And when I see things written perfectly or art created perfectly, and again, it's fun. I get you want to play with it or whatever, but people get lazy. You said it perfectly. Even Rob said yesterday when we were talking about the Match.com thing, you know, Rob and I met on Match.com. We're very proud of that. But that, I think that's, now that I'm thinking of it, I think that's the segue of that conversation, because we were talking about how AI is making people dumber. You know, technology should be an assist. All technology is an assist, like tools. Like, I have a hammer and it helps me so I don't have to use a rock or my shoe. But I don't sit back and let the hammer do it for me.
Yeah.
Because then my muscles atrophy. You kind of get the metaphor there? So I'm with you. It burns my ass. Again, to quote you, be you, boo, dude, because it's getting ridiculous.
It's good.
And then the level of trust. Oh my God. Then the level of trust, because we no longer as humans have trust in one another, because we don't know what is really you.
I know, right? It was hard enough before
when you were just doing your own masks. Now we got AI masks, the super masks.
I mean, you've got social media where you're seeing everyone's highlight reel. You're not seeing what's really going on.
Fucking filters.
Filters, all that kind of stuff. And now you have them not even writing their own content and taking their own pictures. Like people are doing this app where they take your picture and it puts you in all these stunning places, you know, like AI just makes you look gorgeous and glamorous and whatever the program is. And it's just like, it's so obvious. It's so obvious that it's not you. Now, you go out and hire a photographer to take some beautiful pictures of you if you can't do the selfie thing that Dana and I are like, picture.
But, yeah, people are like, get up for a biopic. We're like, okay.
I know. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's terrible. But I get it. But like, just be open to it. Admit it. Hey, I used AI to make this picture of myself. Don't I look hot? Like, just own it. Own it.
Okay, we are officially 6 minutes in. We have no idea what we're talking about today. No, okay, all right. So clearly, this is definitely a source of contention, and for the both of us, and rightfully so, because it truly is opposes everything that we stand for.
Yeah,
it's frustrating, and I think it's the problem with the world. And to tie it into what we're talking about, you know, with the chakra system and our ages of resonance in our development with these chakras. Our insecurities have a lot to do with our level of allowance of outsourcing, our level of allowance of another speaking for us. And our last two episodes, we talked about the root chakra, and the root chakra is all about safety and security and grounding and all that. The chakra that follows is what we're going to talk about this episode and the episode after this. It's the sacral chakra. And the greatest age of resonance in the sacral chakra is from about 7 to 14, which anybody who's been 7 to 14 knows that those developmental years are a bitch. And that just being 7 to 14, especially on the closer to the 14 part of it, right? You know, 10, 11, 12, oh, right?
Puberty.
I taught middle school for like a year. I was like, what are these people? Who are these people that are willing to do this? I don't care what they're paying you, you know? So anyway, and then you add life's obstacles like traumas on top of just being 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And the sacral chakra is rough. Before I get into the description of the sacral, is there anything that 2 cents you want to throw in? Because
yeah, I just want to do a little backpedaling here. So, yeah. So this season is the season of balance, season 6. And we're talking about Dana's book, Veda Finds Her Crown. It's available on Amazon or phenom-publishing.com. And what's amazing about this book is actually this is the age of resonance that you wrote the book for. Like, this is the age group essentially, right? Like,
essentially,
this is
100%.
Yeah. So it's really, really cool. So Dana wrote this amazing little story. It's a short story that like young kids and, you know, grownups alike can follow along and get it. And it's just these kids who she's characterized the chakras into these children. And they're so, so, so sweet. And today is Okiki.
Okiki.
So Okiki is adorable. Put a little picture of her up. And if you guys want to get the book, so this season, we're spending 2 episodes per chakra. And the first one is going to talk about, like, part one is going to be talking about the imbalances and what it looks like and what happens around them. And then part two is like, how do you rectify all that stuff? How do you straighten your shit out? So, So I just wanted to throw that in there. If you want to grab the book, follow along. If you like are coming in now and you want to start from the beginning, just go back to episode 65.
I think it's 4,
whatever chakras, woo woo, whatever the hell.
Rooter to the tutor, you'll recognize the thumbnail.
Yeah. You can start there, and Dana gives a really good overview of the whole system and what we're doing. But we're specifically going in today, and this work is the work that is transformational in your life. So there's it's never too late to change your. Change your direct trajectory. It's never too late. So you could be like having some kind of situations that are like banged up and fucked up and you're not sure how, why, where, feels like there's no end in sight. This is the work that gets you out of that stuff. So Yeah. And it could not seem related, but it all is tied together.
Oh my God, it's all related. It's all related. Oh, I think, okay. You know, just to tie into that whole idea of outsourcing to AI, it's that same thing that when things are going south in our life, it's very, very easy to point the finger at the boss, at the spouse, at the ungrateful children, at all of these different things, the circumstance that is happening to us. And at the end of the day, when we align ourselves in all aspects of ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that those things don't happen, but our ability to cope with them and our ability to reconcile those things is much smoother and much more streamlined, and life becomes happier and more fulfilling. And that's what we're doing. That is what we're doing here. So let's talk about the sacral chakra.
So,
want to show you a picture because I got the cards laid out in front of me because I figured we'd pull one at one point. But Okiki,
she's so cute.
She was intentionally named Okiki. And I didn't mention this about Jack. Jack was the root chakra. I named him Jack because I think in Bosnian, if I remember correctly, Jack means strong. Mm. Okiki, and it might be Okike or something like that, but Okiki in Japanese means the creator. Mm. And yeah, and so again, all the names are intentional. So the sacral chakra, age of residence between 7 and 14, is when we start having opinions, we start looking outward, right? You know, like we're all cute until we're 6, we go to kindergarten, we see the world around us, and we start to develop in a different way. Because it's pre-adolescence into adolescence, when people think the sacral chakra, they very often think about sensuality, sexuality, because it's all about puberty and stuff like that. But there's so much more to that. It's about your ability, your desire in life, your ability to enjoy life, to really feel the sensations and be inspired by it, to have passion, to be creative. Right. But here's the thing that I think is often overlooked with the sacral chakra, because when people have imbalanced sacral chakras, like they're not tapping into their creativity, but it's more than just the creativity of art, of music, of that kind of creativity. It's the understanding that you are the creator of your reality, that your decisions, that your perceptions assist, they create the world around you. And when we have an imbalanced sacral chakra, we tend to, I'll just cover the sensuality, sexuality part. We'll talk more about that later. You could either be hypersexual because you're so insecure from your root, you get a little slutty, or it could be the opposite. You could be, have no sensuality or sexuality, feelings that as you get older, because, well, again, whatever imbalance there is, and have issues, you know, like some men, you know, erectile stuff, you know what I mean? Like, so it could go either way. Like if you were any part of the Angela and I discussing the root chakra, we were saying how the two of us, because we're so different, because our experiences were so different, we were extremes on the opposite end. So you could be extreme on the opposite end of the spectrum. So sexuality, sensuality, passion, people who start to fall into depression, they don't have passion for life anymore. People who think life is happening to them, all of those things are a result of imbalanced sacral chakra. Your lack of desire to enjoy. The big one that I find is guilt. Guilt for fill in the blank. Oh, I want to enjoy something sexually. I want to enjoy something. And the guilt that's attached to it, that all comes from an imbalanced sacral chakra. So imbalanced sacral chakra could be as simple as building on the root and just, you know, the implicit things in life, you know, just the way life is and how it affects you. Or you could have had trauma during that time. I happen to be a winner here. I happen to have both the experience of life in general and then some fucking crazy whammies, man. Crazy whammies that my sacral is all. And one more thing you'll find, and we didn't really talk about this a lot with the root, but you'll find if you have imbalances in any of your chakras, today we're talking about the sacral, obviously, and you don't address them and bring them back into alignment, and you go through life with these misalignments and it affects your exterior world, that stagnant energy also creates physical maladies as a result of that chakra. I have had uterine issues my entire life. as a result of my imbalanced sacral chakra. And not until my 40s did I really truly understand and began to do the healing and balancing it, my sacral chakra. And I haven't had an issue with anything uterine, cysts, fibroid tumors, any of it since. So it's really something. If you're a woman listening and you have any, many of us do, oh, I've got cysts. Oh, I've got fibroids. Oh, I've got endometriosis. Oh, I've got all this stuff. You need to go back to 7 to 14 and be like, oh, my God.
Oh, seriously. But even guys have issues there, too. So it's not just uterine, right?
I'm speaking for women. What I'm saying. You know, anything that erectile related. Yeah. Is coming from that chakra.
Yeah. So in that time, oh my God, fucking middle school, man. it's the worst. It's the worst because I carried major insecurities. I carried major feelings of lack of self-worth because my root was so completely banged up. I had no grounding whatsoever. So I was already, you know, getting drunk with my dad at the gay bars when I was 13, you know, like I, you know, that's got a trauma. I was so insecure that I would do like whatever my friends wanted me to do, whatever was going on. I had no control over my trying to feel included. And I felt so unworthy, so unworthy of everything.
Yep. And it affects everything. And after we talk about sacral, just so you know where we're going to talk about the solar plexus. And the solar plexus is all, and that's 14 to 21. It's all about your confidence, your drive, your sense of identity. So when you have, like Angela had had no grounding from the root chakra, goes into middle school with no grounding, oh my God, you know what I mean? And that's what happens. Again, getting drunk at the gay bars with her father when she's middle school. Yeah. Mine looked a little bit different because I had, again, super grounding. So everything was about force and control. And that's all I knew was the structure, the force and control. And then as I was, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, somewhere around 10 years old, my father left his job in New York and was home all the time. And it was a volatile home on the weekends became a volatile home all the time. Right. And my mother and father went into business together. And I was just, like I said, I was just surrounded by it. But I just want to give you a couple points because I think it's important that the beliefs that come out of these experiences and what we carry are very important. One of the things about the sacral is our relationship with our body. The root is about being strong, but it's our relationship with our body. It's appreciating our body and enjoying our body and everything. Because our body is all about our senses, right? If I don't appreciate my body, then I may abuse it. So somewhere between the ages of 7 and 10, I put on a lot of weight, obviously, because of the trauma that was going on in my home. And going into the sixth grade year, 10, 11 years old, I went on a diet. And my family was very supportive of that. And everything was about counting calories, every calorie. But basically, my mother just did what she knew. You know what I mean? Because she was starving herself to be perfect and gorgeous. So at 11 years old, everything I put in my mouth from 11 to present day, because I'm still working on it, came with shame. Think about that. Everything came with shame. Everything, even now, I'm so aware. Again, I'm totally back into balance, but that awareness of every calorie, every crazy. And then obviously the physical activity came later, you know, the working out and all that. And for the first time, because I was relatively ignored for what, you know, my brother and whatever, he was the golden child. The first time I got any kind of attention from my family was when I lost weight. So now the message is, if you're thin, if you abuse your body, then you have value. I am not the only person. I know that if there's any women listening to this, you probably 80% of you can relate to this. Okay.
Yeah.
So then that happened. So now my whole life is about the way I look. If I'm not thin enough, every food morsel I put in my mouth, so I can't even enjoy food anymore. And then that continued through most of my life. I also, prior to that, was self-soothing with food because I was, you know, because life was so uncomfortable and I was such a mess. And so it became a soother and then it became the enemy. Craziness. That's just life. right? Yeah. Then, sit back. Let me move my mic because there's a lot of hands going to be thrown around here. Then, when I was 12 years old, my mother and father finally got separated. By 13, my mother moved out. My father moved in because, you know, again, we were terrible children and she couldn't live with us anymore. Again, now we have abandonment. Throw that on there. And then by 14, my father and I, it was so volatile, I ran away. And and then we'll talk about the solar plexus another time. So there were so many messages, you know what I mean? That my mother, you know, I'm not good enough. My mother doesn't love me. My father, when I ran away, didn't chase and left all my stuff in garbage bags on the front porch. So I'm garbage, obviously. I don't matter. Again, food. Like, so think about the concentration in that small amount of time, what that created in this person. Now, I tell you these things not because, oh my God, poor me. Anybody who knows me knows these things are way behind me. I'm using them as example. I talk about them in 10 racks. I don't really talk about them in woo-woo, but I talk about the repercussions of them in woo-woo. And it's really important that we understand that even if I didn't have that whole thing where I ran away from home and my mother abandoned me, I say it like, oh my God. But even if that didn't exist, just that one act of being fearful of putting food in my mouth. I mean, food is a pleasure. We're human beings. It's a pleasure. There are more cooking shows than there are anything else. Like, and to have that, to be robbed of that at such a young age and not even understand that that's what was happening because I'm only having my experience. I don't know what Angela's experience was. I don't know what anybody else's experience was. I just know if I wasn't thin, I wasn't lovable. What the
fuck? Yeah. No, that's crazy.
It's crazy, right?
My experience was more of neglect, more of no one being around. When I got my period, I didn't even know like how to put a pad on. Thank God for that class in fifth grade that showed us like what to do, you know? Like I showed us like the outline of a peepee, like, okay. Yeah, yeah. I didn't know any of it. But my mom and I didn't talk about sex. We didn't talk about anything. We didn't talk about anything. And when I got my period, I came home and there was a present wrapped and she got me a purse so that I can keep my pads in it. I didn't even know why she gave me a purse. There was no like, here. So like in hindsight, she was thinking, oh, so you can carry your stuff with you, you know, to go to the bathroom. Yeah. But there was no explaining it. So everything I did was under the radar. Nobody paid attention to me whatsoever. My mom had two kids. My brothers were like everything because they were little. So they got all the attention. I was doing whatever. When I was like 14, so this will go into it, but my dad, I was up visiting my dad, and now I have no idea what the fuck is going on. I'm just like, la, la, la. I still am like that today. But so my dad had an apartment, and it was a two-bedroom apartment, and he lived with this guy, Tim, and in my mind, they were roommates. In my mind, it did. I had a bed to sleep in, but it didn't make sense. I didn't understand that they were gay, right? And I come from a conservative town and, you know, like I didn't know anything really about anything except for like gay meant AIDS. I don't know.
Yeah, right? Yeah, It was the 80s.
So I'm sitting there and I got in trouble for kissing one of the dancers at Tim's studio. No, there were no flags whatsoever, right? Tim had a dance studio and I was made out with a dancer. And then my dad was like, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm gay, right? And I'm like, yeah. Duh. And then I'm like, oh my God. But I had no one to talk to about it.
Yeah.
I had no mom to go to. I mean, she was there, but my aunt, nobody. I can never be like, dad told me this, help me make sense of this because it's really freaking confusing. So instead, I leaned in and we got drunk together and eventually did coke together and eventually like, he's not in my life anymore, you know, like, but that was crazy because it was all about not having any kind of space or person where I can go and be like, I have a concern. Can I talk about it? I didn't feel worthy of that.
And that's what comes, and that's what creates the solar plexus later. Like, you know, like that worthiness, that sense of, okay, let me just stop. You and I have just explained two completely different scenarios, both tragic. Both tragic. Mm-hmm. And here's what happens. You have adults, you have people of our age, and we we go through life, like we have looked at ourselves, we've looked at our lives, we've made the changes. But when people are going through life and have had similar experiences, don't even realize they were traumatic experience, they're surrounded by people with similar experiences and just accept that. You don't have to carry that through your life. You don't have to. And then when you have children, when you're doing this work on yourself, you, because both of us, Angela has an 18-year-old and an almost 6-year-old, or an almost 19-year-old and an almost 6-year-old, right? And my kids are 13 and 14. I'm raising kids right now that are in the age of my greatest traumas. And what's interesting is I am so aware that I don't want to parent them from my dysfunction. I'm aware of it in myself. Almost Rob calls me Chopper 9 because I get all with their emotions. I get all helicoptery. And so like Yaya will go through something and I'm like, Yaya, we need to talk. And Rob's like, oh, Chopper 9 coming in for a landing.
Because a different kind of helicopter parent, right?
Totally different kind. But I'm so aware of the neglect, of the disregard, of all that, that I try to, but again, we have to be careful to go, that we don't go to the other side. So the reason I'm explaining this is when we become aware of these things in ourselves, they make us better partners because we now have compassion for our significant other who has had their own trauma. And instead of fighting with them, we see in them what we're learning about ourselves, and we could have compassion and work through it together rather than battle with each other. When we understand these things about ourselves, we could look at our children and say, okay, what is mine? And what can I assist with without dumping my shit onto them? And we become better parents. We can go to work and we don't feel like our boss belittled us because it's not about us. And that little girl in me that is triggered by that is healed. So I could look at my boss for the pompous asshole that he is and not take it personally. You know what I mean? Forgive him for he not know what he do. You know what I mean? And so again, to go back to the original point when we first opened this episode, it's so easy to do this. And many of us are doing that. But when we start to look at these things about ourselves and realize that, oh my God, this is why this is blah, blah. And I forgive myself for not knowing better. And I forgive you. I had to forgive my mother like 50 times because every time I thought I forgave her, I'm like, oh no, I still hate her. And then I would forgive her again. You know what I mean? Because there was something that needed to be worked through with me. And I think that when we start to understand that, humanity starts to understand that, and we stop pointing the fingers outside of us, we become healthy individually and healthy as a whole, you know?
Yeah. 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 Understanding this part of myself, and really it was because I carry a lot of guilt. So a lot of it was, you know, forgiving myself for not knowing better, forgiving myself for not seeing, and saying, now that I have the awareness, now I have the power to do what's right, best for me moving forward. So there's no point in having guilt of how I acted in the past. So it's a beautiful moment where you can, even just reconciling the guilt of how you acted and behaved even yesterday, because you have the awareness today, it helps me move forward and become the best version of myself. Every single day I'm changing. Every single day there's a new awareness. This weekend I was like, oh my God, I do that?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. I do that. Yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah. I had a conversation with our favorite 18-year-old yesterday. And in that conversation, she was saying how she had done something and she felt crappy for it. She did this great thing. And she did this one thing and she felt crappy for it. And we have a tendency, because of our imbalances, to focus. And you know, you do it. Whoever's listening, we focus so hard on that one thing, and we miss all the beauty of what we've done, what we've achieved, right? We forget to take stock on all the greatness. And what I tried to help her understand was the ick, the unpleasantness that you felt with this one thing was just to alert you of what was still in balance. That's all it was. Don't allow this alert, your emotional guidance system, don't allow this alert to throw shade over everything else. Oh, I did all of these great things. I did this one thing that wasn't as great. And that's why I felt that, to alert me. So the next time, now I know to be aware of this and bring this to more balance for the next time. Okay, yes. Now we know that. Now we understand what the ick was about. Now we understand what the imbalance was. Now we've committed to ourselves for the next time. Now let's put that to rest and throw a fucking party about all these great things. Yes. And what I told her was, I'm like, guilt is a wasted emotion. It's bullshit. That those feelings, that discomfort is to alert us, but guilt is just wallowing in it.
Yeah.
It's taking ownership for something that is just that if we knew better, we wouldn't have done it, or ownership for other people's bullshit. It's not necessary.
All right. Way to bring it home. Okay. So that's what an imbalanced, banged up sacral chakra looks like. You know, we would love if you want to share anything of your experiences in the comments. And we'll be addressing how to unbang these things next week.
Unbang them.
So that'll be really, really cool and fun and excited long time. And just a fine tip. So I had this awareness this weekend that I tend to do things for other people's comfort at the expense of my own. And I do that a lot. And I was like, I do this thing. And then I was at Costco and I had a really good parking spot. And you know, Costco, if you're a Costco shopper, you throw all your shit in your cart and then you bring it to the car and you pack it up so you can carry it, right? And there was a car waiting for me. Normally I would have been throwing everything in the trunk. Oh, he's got to get in the spot, blah, 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 blah. But I was like, no, I'm going to take my time. I'm going to pack my bags. He can wait if he wants to. It's his choice, not mine. My cart back to the thing. Like, I like to walk my cart back up, get a little extra steps in. And I came back to the car. He was not miffed. He was just sitting there on his phone waiting for me casually. And I was like, oh, look at that. Nobody died because I took care of me first.
Look at that. I'm not responsible for his happiness. Look at that.
Yes. Some rando stranger. Then he pulled into the spot, waved goodbye. That was it. But I do that on grand, much grander scales. I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Now that I'm aware of it, doesn't mean I'm not going to do it again, but I'm aware of it. And hopefully I can chip away at that behavior.
Yeah.
You know, just because you have the awareness doesn't mean like, oh, good.
I know.
Now it's like, oh, I did it again. Okay. No guilt. I did it again. Why did I do that? Okay. How can I rectify that? Okay, I'll try hard next time.
Yeah, and that's the thing, the no guilt, because we beat ourselves up and we get so entrenched in the beating of ourselves up. Listen, I only know this because I do it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like, I read it in a book. Like we live this, you know? But you beat yourself up. And then when you say, all right, okay, there's no point in beating myself up because now my awareness is even broader. How many times do I got to get, you know, beaten with the stick to get it? And then eventually it's no longer a part. And that part of you has been put to rest. Take it to the next one. But so before we say goodbye, I have all these cards. You see me, I keep doing like this.
Oh, yes. Yes. Sorry.
I just want to pull a card.
Okay.
So
Dana created a deck of cards called Veda Finds Her Crown Chakra Cards for Empowerment or whatever the heck you call it. I don't know.
For chakra empowerment and development. It's hard to
see. They're adorable. Wait. They're based on the characters. There's 7 cards for each character. Chakra tells you the crystal that's related. It's got exercises,
yeah,
tips,
cover.
All that good stuff.
It's Angela's design.
So she's going to be reading from the cards. So what do we got today?
So just pick a number between 1 and 7.
4.
1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Oh, this is apropos. So remember, Okiki is on the front. And I am the creator of my entire reality. Okay.
So true, Okiki. Thank you.
Do I feel good about my body? If not, why? Practice being grateful for your body. Choose one thing you love about your body and repeat to yourself what it is you love and why you love it. I love my blank because blank. And the crystal is tangerine quartz if you're into the rocks. But so what's one thing you love about your body, Miss Angela? I know, right? The older we get.
You know, I'm starting to appreciate my curves because I had babies and it makes me a mom. So I'm starting to appreciate, whereas before I was just like, oh, I'm not perfect. I'm not slender. I'm not muscular. I'm starting to appreciate the body that I have because it created children. It created life. And I respect it.
Oh, look at you being all high road and noble about embracing the curves. I'm all like,
I mean, you didn't ask me what I don't like.
Yeah. So. I love my stretch marks and my cellulite. So hot. No, dude, I like my skin. I've been blessed with really good skin my whole life. Mm. Like never really got breakouts. It seems to bounce back pretty quickly. It's a good tone. You know, so yeah. I'm digging my skin. Thank God, because it's covering all my
your all epidermis my bits. Is showing.
It's my skin.
Talk about middle school, right? Dude, yeah. Your epidermis is showing.
All right, should we say goodbye now that we've got off the rails?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Right. Spin that wheel, girl.
All right. Okay. Got my wheel. Let me move this, because as we've established, I'm a spaz. Okay, let's see how our time it is today. I'm going right in for it. I can't. I usually wait, too. And then we're yeah. Right in.
Yeah.
Right in.
What do we got?
I can.
Doodaloo!
Motherfucker! We're going right in.
I did go right in.
Go do it.
God, that's what she said. No. Do it yourself. Okay. Do it yourself.
Doodaloo, motherfucker.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for having us.